This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Josh. On Wednesday, we had a very special day here in the building. We had the RSPCA's Cupcake Day, where we were all baking cupcakes. We had Michelle from the RSPCA come down and judge the cupcakes, which is very, very exciting. Now, they don't taste the cupcakes. They just look at them, and it's like the best presented ones.
Yeah.
Now, in third place, I don't even remember who was in third place.
It was Kate Rice.
There you go, Kate Rice, who does the news here for us sometimes.
She made goldfish cupcakes.
In first place was the Michael that's not producer Michael. Other Mike, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And in second place, tucked in between first and third, was our very own Josh.
Why are you talking like you're telling a fairy tale?
Because this is a fairy tale.
I know you're about to...
The utter nonsense that was pulled leads me to believe this is a fairy tale. Now, Josh negated to tell anyone the fact that he didn't actually bake any of these cupcakes. He did the icing, which requires stirring.
It was panache. And honestly, the ice cream came out of the tub. Icing came out of a tub. So
you didn't even make the icing.
No, but I did the pastry boob thing, where you squeeze the piping is what it's called.
Michael. I think boob is way better.
No, but you know where you got
I know what you mean.
Yeah, where you put it in like the...
Okay, I don't think anyone's ever called tubing a pastry boob, but that's fine. You know what? Breaking new ground here this morning.
Yeah, all right. I don't know what I'm doing. I had help.
That was egregious enough. You not baking the cupcake
and still getting second place. No, but it was clearly awarded for the decorating, which I did do. And then I put animals in the cake on like little cake like.
By the way,
toppers.
Also dead animals.
Animals from movies that have died in horrific scenes.
Also, don't start explaining it like I did any of this. Like you're frustrated with how long this has gone on.
No, I'm just saying that I can't keep defending that I came second. I was embarrassed when it happened. I apologized when I got given the ribbon. I didn't expect to come second.
Well, here's the thing. You would expect that is where the atrocities from Josh end, where it's like, all right, so he didn't really bake anything. He squirted icing out of a tube.
I don't think you call it an atrocity when I didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, well, you still did it, so.
I meant everyone to have a little laugh and go, oh, that's not Simba, that's Mufasa. Oh, God, this is a bit funny. I didn't expect to come second.
I was willing to let bygones be bygones and be like, whatever. He didn't bake. He barely piped, so whatever. Go on the website, because at the end of the day, this is all for the RSPCA. It's to raise money for the RSPCA. It's the Cupcake Day. I go on there, and I have a look at some donations. Now, we have one from Zach, Jackie, Sean, Joel, Chrissy, Sam. Oh, this Ned Barad guy is pretty cool dude. And Ro.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So you won.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Didn't bake, barely piped, and then thought it a little bit too much to ask from you to donate to the RSPCA.
Why is there a name and shame registry as to who's donated?
I don't think that's the intention, but it's certainly how I'm seeing it. Yeah. I'm also the second highest donator, which doesn't matter.
How much did you donate?
Doesn't matter. I'm the second highest.
$5?
Again, it doesn't matter. I am still on there.
Is producer Michael on that list?
Did producer Michael win any award
I'm just noticing that there was also an omission from that list that
he's also not on there. That's
I'm just trying to deflect as quickly as I can.
Yeah, but he also bought ingredients for cupcakes, so he's paid his dues.
You know what? From what I understand, the Governor General signed off on it, so I can't be held accountable for anything, all right? Right now, it is 20 minutes away from 7 o'clock.
It doesn't need that. Like, we know what you mean. You're unfortunately pausing for the time we know is what
honestly,
it's going
to
be.
I was filling for time.
The
website I was about to read this off hasn't loaded
yet. Okay.
It is the Canberra Times, and they've got a story about Xavier Savage, who has extended his contract with the Canberra Raiders.
Yep.
He's 20 years old.
Yep.
And they've referred to him, and this is not having got the Canberra Times at all, because they've correctly referred to him, in my opinion, as a young gun.
Right.
Young gun Xavier Savage.
Young gun.
He's 20 years old.
So...
I totally have no issue with the Canberra Times referring to Xavier Savage at 20 years old as a young gun.
I have no problem with that either.
But young gun as a phrase, we have no rules around it.
No.
And I think moving forward, what I'd like to do is use this off as a jumping point to have a conversation with you. It's usually used around sport as well, like young athletes.
Yeah, someone who's like an overachiever, very young.
Up and coming young gun. How old... is too old to be called that. Because 20's not it. 20's perfectly fine.
20 is bang on.
But I'm thinking if you can't be a young gun at 28.
No. I think
it's not, because what youth is technically like up to 30.
Yeah.
But young gun is younger than youth.
And it's like saying that you've, like, I think it is very much like you're an overachiever. You've
at
done
young
great
age.
Things at
yes,
a young age.
Yes.
So it's like if you're in your late 20s and you're achieving stuff, that's to be expected.
Yes,
like,
okay.
Yeah, you've had enough time to get all your crap together. Let's start doing
but
something.
But if you're kicking goals at 20,
I think,
you're a young gun.
I think in between the ages of 20 and 20...
Ooh.
I'll say 3,
ooh,
but if you're 24, if you're closer to 24 than you are 25, I'll allow it.
So you know, sort of mid-30s, people starting to wrap up elite sport careers,
yeah,
right? So you saying...
You're an old duck, maybe.
But what if you were, and this is what I wanted to get into, what if you were a 31-year-old thoracic surgeon that was one of the best in the world? Could you be a young gun at that? Because you could bet... Like, think about it, that kind of specialized yeah surgery. Maybe you've only just finished school. Like,
well, that's
you've only
it
just gotten out of... And so you can't be a young gun thoracic surgeon at 19.
You are putting up a very good argument that it is... to each
industry
profession
based?
Yes,
yes.
If you're a philosopher at 31, that would say you're a young gun philosopher, because I would imagine you would have to live your entire life before
I'd say
you
if you're a young gun philosopher at 31, you're just good at writing Instagram captions. Yeah. That's actually what it is.
I don't know how much work philosophers are getting in 2022.
Socrates wouldn't be too nervous, I don't think. I think, okay, so you're saying maybe 24. Anything
I'd say
past
cut off,
20, yeah.
Because yeah, before 20, you're like a kid. I don't know what you would call that.
Youngster.
Yeah, there you go.
You
youngster
can't be okay. So if you're going to use the phrase youngster and put that on the yeah end of it, you certainly, I don't think you can be in your 20s. I think you need to be under 20 to
no,
be
no,
a
no,
youngster.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So here is the age bracket for me. 18 to 20, you're a youngster or a youngin.
Yep.
Then you're a young gun from 20 to 24, we'll yep say. And then from 24 for the rest of your life.
You're just
you're
you
a disappointment. Yeah. You're just you. You've let everyone
good
down.
Good stuff. Ned, Uber are just doing everything at the moment.
They are seeming like they're doing a little bit of everything.
Apparently now they're launching Uber Health, which is patient transport.
It's like ride-sharing to the hospital.
Ride-sharing to the hospital, but more doctors would send patients from one clinic to another or to, you know, get a test from this area. Doctors could book it.
I thought you meant doctors would be driving, and I'm like, doctors need to be focusing on their jobs.
Doctors are now going to be driving the Ubers.
I don't want to be lecturing doctors in any regard, but do not start driving Uber. Just do doctoring.
Gives medics the easy ability to book rides for patients to or from appointments, which is a great idea, because if people are having trouble getting to an appointment,
yeah,
you know, there's mobility issues, all that sort of stuff, that's a fantastic side of this. I'm all for that.
Well, if it's not critical as well, if you're just like, I need to go to my doctors.
That's very much what it says here. Uber has insisted this is not going to be for emergencies.
Right.
This is not for emergencies. This will be not for emergencies. Otherwise, I think Uber need to start giving their drivers a lot more money, because if it's all of a sudden Uber drivers are now paramedics as well.
Just send a bread knife through your leg and you're like, Uber, I need a tarp in the back, I think.
He's completing a ride somewhere else and then he's on the way to you. It's like, no, come here
right now.
Hey, Ned, we got a couple of problems that are facing the world of government advertising.
Okay.
Not advertising for apparent vacancies in government ministries is a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here.
We've got that covered. Don't worry about it.
The positions can be filled quite easily. Not what we're talking about.
We are good.
I am talking about actual government ads.
Okay.
Like the ones you would hear on this radio station. This is why I want to tread carefully, because I love a good government ad because they pay for my bills, essentially. But apparently... anti-tobacco campaigns starting to run out of a little bit of steam.
Like they're running out of money or they're running out of the drive to
apparently
get people off cigarettes?
It's not reducing smoking the way it was once upon a time.
Right,
but I think we can't hope for it to reduce smoking the way it did once upon a time, because we went from doctors saying, I smoke a certain sort of packet to don't smoke, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
That's going to cause a pretty big drop-off.
You can't maintain that kind of fear.
We haven't had four out of five doctors smoke XYZ branding for a long time. We haven't had that since like the 70s. So
people have gotten around. It's like if you're smoking now, you're very aware
of what it is. Yeah. You're completely aware of how dangerous
it is. No one's in the dark anymore.
But in Japan, they're having kind of a different problem. And now they're starting a brand new campaign. Young people over there aren't drinking enough alcohol.
In Japan.
In Japan.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So Japan, like, what's it called? Sake?
Sake. Yeah.
Sake. There's a new campaign called Sake Viva. And apparently what they're trying to do is get young people between the ages of 20 to 39 to drink more grog, basically.
Yeah.
Because post-COVID, bars and restaurants haven't recovered the way they... And they've basically put it down to young people aren't as keen on grog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, like, I mean, cost of living nowadays is expansive as. So, mm-hmm. like, I am not having throw around, oh, I'll just go out and have a few beers tonight. I'm having less of those.
I'm also not a member of the Japanese economy,
yeah,
so I don't understand what I'd be doing if I was in Japan money-wise, but it is expensive here.
Are they specifically targeting sake?
No, they're saying any alcohol, just more alcohol.
And sake is like one of the strongest alcohols you can get, so if it was a campaign being like, get out there and drink sake, people would be like... Are you sure?
I like that it's called Sake Viva as well, because when if you have a little bit too many in a row of any kind of alcohol, you might get to a point where you think you can speak a different language. Because Viva is what? That's Spanish.
So it's Japanese
for Japan.
And Spanish.
It's very confusing.
So, where am I?
But apparently this is, quote, to change attitudes among the young.
So, I don't know.
Attitudes towards getting on the piss.
I don't know if this is the attitude that needs to be changed.
No, but here's where these two stories meld together in my mind.
Okay.
Our public service advertising has been so effective against tobacco in the last 40 years.
Yeah.
That now it doesn't, it's like everyone knows.
Yeah.
It's not effective anymore because everyone already
Everyone's
knows.
Aware.
Let's send our advertising agency over to Japan and get them to do the opposite in reverse.
We'll have to reverse engineer
for their alcohol market.
So what do we have to scare people into drinking?
Encourage them so feverishly. Use the feet. Do the opposite.
Yeah, give them
that much
no
excitement.
Other
that much excitement. Michael,
Josh.
Welcome into the studio as well. Producer
Hello.
Michael's here. And Ned, please do take it away.
There's something funny that's happening at the moment. If you remember back in 2008, there were two teams on the internet. Team Edward, Team Jacob.
Mm.
Team Jacob was obviously fronted by Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner.
Who are you, by the way? Edward or Tam? Were you Jacob or Edward?
I did not, with any fiber of my being, care.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably important for me to state before I say what I'm about to say, but I was Team Jacob.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I was Team Jacob.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't need any preamble. I was absolutely Team Jacob. What about you, Michael?
Of course you're Team Jacob.
He was sick. He was
cool.
The man.
It's pretty cool.
Pretty goddamn cool.
He
turned into a werewolf. That's
and
the raddest thing you can do.
And in fairness to anyone who's a Pattinson fan, I also think Pattinson's probably the best Batman. So we've also he did okay.
Robert Pattinson is a fantastic actor.
Yep.
Taylor Lautner was hotter in that movie.
Yeah, fantastic.
Sorry. Anyway, he's
sorry about it.
Yeah, he's going through something at the moment that not many people will go through there in their entire lives or even maybe hear about in their entire lives, but his name is Taylor Lautner. He's dating or got proposed to his girlfriend, whose name is Taylor Dome. They're about to
Wasn't
get married.
Wasn't he dating Taylor Swift for a while as well?
Probably.
He's like, just keep this nice and simple. I'm only going to date people that have the same name as me.
Well, it's turned out to be massively inconvenient because that means they're about to get married. He was asked on the Kelly Clarkson show, hey, what the hell's going to go on? There are going to be two Taylor Lautners. She's taking his last name.
Wow.
There will be. And by the way, their names are spelled the exact same. So it's T-A-Y-L-O-R. That's how both their names are spelled.
Passports are going to get confusing.
Oh, names will get confusing.
Yes.
Someone will go like, yo, Taylor.
Which one?
Taylor Lautner.
Which one? That's only funny.
The boy one, I guess.
Maybe that's funny for two times.
Exactly.
And then that's going to be annoying for the rest of your life.
You and I have come up with a system. Obviously, it wouldn't work for the Taylors because they have the exact same name. And I have come up with a very good system.
Well, this is the thing, right? So this is a conversation that goes on around the event of a marriage.
Like
my sister's engaged at the moment. She's talking about whether or not she takes her husband's last name or a fiance's last name. I think she's leaning towards doing it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't do it now. I couldn't imagine. I'm actually weird. I'm like a weird outlier. I don't think I'd want my wife to take my name. I just find it weird. I know it's tradition, but I just find it weird. I don't think I'd want to change someone's name.
My mum never did.
Yeah,
my mum always stayed a Wolfswinkle.
And this is why this system has come about and producer Michael's down here to be a judge. Your mum kind of kept hers for a pretty cool reason.
Well, my parents dated. I was 10 when my parents got married. Mm. So they were like in it before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got to the point where my mum's like, well, we've been dating now for 30 years. I don't now all of a sudden, because I signed papers, want to change my name. And my name's also sick. So
Her last name is?
Wolfswinkle.
How cool is that as a last name?
It's very, very cool.
I wouldn't want to change that either.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the system we're proposing is the person with the cooler last name is the one that the name... If you want to change names and you've decided that as a couple, that you'd like to show each other that extra level of commitment or whatever...
Sure.
you have to take whoever's got the cooler last name's name.
Which means...
whichever side of the partnership that is, the cooler name wins.
By evolutionary standards, that should mean that in like 300 years, we just have the raddest
so
names.
So cool. All of the coolest last names.
We'll go back to like ancient Greece where people were called like Zeus.
Yeah, amazing.
It's like, oh my God.
Everyone's last name would be Blade.
Razor.
So cool. All right, so producer Michael's in here right now to see how this system would work. Because what we're talking about is maybe for a week, you open it up to friends and family and they vote on who has the cooler last name and then you just have to go with their decision.
I think you and I can do an example right now. Let's say you and I were going down the marriage offices.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I will give myself a nickname.
Yeah.
You can give yourself a made up nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is the officiant. So we will just say to him.
The official.
Efficient.
I think we call these people the efficient.
The efficient.
Like sure.
I will say, my name is Ned XYZ. This is my soon to be husband, Josh XYZ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do we go as?
Okay, here we go. So let's get into it, all right?
Okay, so...
lay it down.
I'll present
lay
myself.
It down.
Here's how we'll do it. You'll present yourself.
Okay,
here we go. This is ready for my first name.
Mm-hmm.
I, Ned Hendricks...
And I went with an H as well.
Take Josh to be my lawfully wedded husband.
Josh Huxley.
Huxley's not bad. It sounds like hold a on. Dog's name, though.
Huxley. Oh, no, don't neg my
okay,
name.
Sorry, you've got to leave this up
we're
to Michael.
We're meant to be in love.
Ned and Josh Huxley or Ned and Josh Hendricks?
Ned Hendricks and Josh Hendricks.
Got to give it to Hendricks.
I actually have to give it to Hendricks.
Hendricks is unreal.
Right. Okay, very good.
One more.
I, Ned Beckett.
Oh.
Take okay. Josh. Oh, yeah, that didn't land with Michael mm-hmm. at all.
Take Josh.
Josh
Collymore.
Jesus Christ.
I like that it's a new name.
You guys shouldn't get married.
But right now...
it's Ned and Josh's job game.
Yes, it is the job game this morning, and we are asking a very, very simple question. What do you do for a living? We have to be very vague about the way we ask the question, though. That is the rule.
You don't want to be too specific because it essentially hands the other person the guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Your guess, you're only allowed to ask one. It's like a tit-for-tat question game. Mm-hmm. So if I go like, does your job rhyme with Barpinder? And the guy goes, yes. And then Josh goes, are you a carpenter?
That's too easy.
That's too easy. You don't want to hand it to the other person.
It's about being a detective this morning. We have Steve on the line. Steve, how are you?
Good, man.
Yeah, fantastic to hear that, Steve. Are you ready to play the job game this morning?
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, so we're going to ask you a question each. It has to be vague in nature. And then we will get your answers. There are only clues, and we will try and guess what you do for a living. Okay, Steve, here we go. Who's going to go first? Paper, rock, scissors?
Scissors, paper, rock.
Oh, rock, smashes, scissors. Steve, I'm electing Ned to go first with his question this morning. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Get ready for this question, Steve, because it's a good one. Could your grandparents have had your job?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Very, very interesting.
Interesting. So it's not a super modern job.
No.
Maybe Steve's not a website designer. Don't know.
Maybe Steve's grandparents are 20 years old.
Super cutting edge. Maybe they were just really in on the ground floor of the internet.
Yeah. Who knows?
Oh, damn it.
I'd say it's more likely that they're old and just doesn't work with computers.
Steve. Do you ever have to work on the weekends, mate?
Occasionally.
Okay, so it's not often. I'm getting a strong trade vibe from Steve here.
Then, I mean, you can guess first if you would like.
Steve, are you an electrician?
No.
Okay. That's a no there. Fine.
I'm going to guess that you're a mechanic, Steve.
No.
Damn it.
Steve, this has all come to naught, mate. What do you do for a living?
Carpenter.
Oh, it was so cool.
We made the joke about carpenter before this even started.
Were you sweating when I joked about being a barpinder, Steve?
Yeah.
It was amazing coincidence.
Sucks. That actually sucks. More than being completely wrong, that's so much worse.
You've won your tickets to the movies, though, mate. Congratulations.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
Damn it.
That is kind of a devastating way to end that this week.
That's pretty upsetting. I also feel like I need to ban you from asking, do you work on the weekends?
Yeah, okay.
Because unless you can prove me like a...
I do need to come to the table with better questions. That's fine.
A cognitive line that leads us to any kind of information, Because I, as of right now, can't think of a time where it's ever helped.
If somebody says I work exclusively on the weekends, I'm going to guess they're a reverend, okay? That's what I'm going to ask.
Josh, you are doing something this weekend that's made me very, very jealous. You're going on a bit of a holiday, and not really even a holiday. It's just kind of like a getaway for a weekend. But you've decided that the location that you have, you will be escaping to will be my island home of Tasmania. You'll be going to Tassie with your girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm going to Hobart.
Yeah.
Which I have very much tried to get off the ground as the Paris of Australia.
Why?
Because I think...
You know, that's not the dumbest thing I've
heard. And I actually think that it is the most romantic city in Australia.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
As opposed to what?
Like, there's a mountain with snow that you can see. Yeah. There's water. Yeah. There's, like, you know, Salamanca markets. There's, like...
So, a mountain, water, and Salamanca markets.
And there's, like, lights that are, like, you know, you look, it looks like you would be warm inside having a hot chocolate and a little snuggle. Maybe some wine.
Yeah.
Can you see what I'm saying? You know, Hobart...
Long-term listeners, like, well, if you were listening at 6.50, Josh was really mean to me for no reason. This is why I'm so mean to him right now. I get exactly what you mean, mate.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. As much as I was...
Australia's most romantic city.
You went on the weirdest rant ever.
I believe it is Australia's most romantic city.
It is very romantic. It's beautiful. It's very, very picturesque. There's a lot of stuff to do down there.
That's what I'm saying.
I was born in Tasmania. I love Tasmania. Yeah.
You're born in the north.
Shy away from it at all. At the same time, I was born in the north. I was not born in that scum backwater town of Hobart.
It's very much a Springfield Shelbyville thing going on in Hobart.
Do not care for Hobartians.
Launceston and Hobart. It's a very much.
Launcestonian versus Hobartians.
You think it's fake.
Nah.
It's actually real.
I don't think I can actually say that on air, but still, I am very, very upset that you're going to Tasmania without me.
Okay, so...
Because you haven't been back since we left. And I were in Tasmania together. That's where we formed this friendship.
Yep.
And we left.
Yeah.
I figured the next time you'd be going back would be with the prodigal son, me.
Well, so
instead
my...
Instead of taking a girlfriend who's not even from Australia.
Yeah, well, that's actually true. But
yes.
So
you've gone...
She's an Australian
almost
citizen.
Offensively
she is
the
an Australian
other
citizen.
Way.
The point here is, right, I have... received a lot of flack for this in the last week. My father actually messaged me yesterday just going, can I ask why you're going to Hobart, not Launceston? Because you lived in Launceston for 5 years.
Very correct.
I will say now and let the record state that my reply to dad...
Okay.
My reply to that, dad, was thusly.
If you were going to Launceston, by the way, I'd actually fist fight you.
So my reply to dad was, yeah, that does make sense, I guess. I said, but... I have this whole thing about how Hobart's the Paris of Australia.
Jesus.
And then the next paragraph was, plus Ned would actually fight me if I went to Launceston without him.
Wow. See? We're this close. You want to take me to Tasmania?
Yeah, no.
Scumbag.
Not to the Paris of Tasmania.
Well, whatever. What, are you scared you're going to fall in love?
I've actually literally, I've dumbed that down from the Paris of Australia to now the Paris of Tasmania.
Yeah, I was going to say. Josh. You said it before. There's stuff that always happens when people leave a workplace. It's like you have parties, maybe you have a cake, maybe you have like a... You go out and do some kind of activity to send them off. It's always quite nice. At the bare minimum, usually a big card goes around.
Yeah, a big card to sign off on and say, thanks for your time here.
Everyone can write on it, just say a little, maybe a little...
Well wishes.
Exactly, maybe a little memory that you guys have shared, whatever. That's kind of the bare minimum. Just to... the person's leaving the building.
My favourite part is, like, and this is true of every workplace I've worked in, the office grouch, whoever that will be, you can tell who that is based on the person that just writes their name.
Are you going to write your name?
Just write your name.
No, do not
bother. At least write best wishes or something like that.
This person's not asking for your signature, so maybe chill out.
Just write best wishes, good luck with the future, or nice to know you, then your name.
You can put in no effort while also not being a massive jerk.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, exactly right. So I usually just try and remember something, you know, or like if we've got a little inside joke or if we had a laugh in the hallway or whatever, I just write that. Like, hey, we'll miss you around, whatever. We're having some dude leave the work here today called Jimmy. This is his last day. Now, Jimmy...
Resident legend in the building.
Yeah, I love Jimmy. Now, he was getting a card sent around. I unfortunately got the email about the card yesterday afternoon after I'd left work. So I was like, oh, this is going to suck because they're probably already going to seal it by tonight. And then when I get into work tomorrow morning, obviously I could write in it then, but it's probably already going to be closed up, which sucks. Go home a little bit later, check my emails, read it properly. We're not doing a big card. doing an e-card.
An online card.
An electronic card.
So Jimmy is one of our extremely hardworking technicians here in this building.
Tech.
And I say extremely hardworking because they just do everything in this building.
Yep.
But I will say maybe that's why we're doing the e-card. No, stop, no, because we've been doing this for a while now. We've not been getting big cards for a while. We've been doing this online card thing.
And it's honestly like... It feels so impersonal. Yeah, it does. It feels incredibly impersonal. It's almost been like a sprinkling of these e-cards. Because some people do get the old school, like, write it down.
Yeah.
But it's like more and more we're getting the e-cards. If I get an e-card, I'm going to be pissed.
I want an e-card if I leave the building.
I would rather get
an actual card.
I lose
the email codes, links and stuff for like gift vouchers that people send me.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to have a nice little memento from a workplace and it's going to come via email, I will absolutely lose that.
Yeah,
like
exactly
I will
right.
lose that for sure.
And exactly, and it makes you, I feel like if you have to write something down, it makes you at least put in a little bit of effort.
And you can get nice, you can see who has the neatest handwriting in the building. There's
and you
a lot
can
of
go back through
that.
And read it. Yeah. I don't want to go back through my emails and find one from an old email account where I can go like, oh, cool, and then... So a guy named Nick that I worked with said, best wishes. And he wrote it down. It was like in a weird font.
If we have such a revolving door in this place of people leaving that we need to stop buying cards and go electronic for convenience, we might need to take a bit of a look at
bigger
things,
problems
actually.
Bigger problems than the card
now, thinking about it.
Josh, McDonald's Australia, so the one that's actually here, have had to come out and defend themselves
a little bit.
So
McDonald's Australia isn't based in India. Thanks for clearing that up, champion.
Cool. I'm going to write that down. What time is it? Okay, 6:51. Josh was an absolute prick to me.
For no reason.
I'm going to remember. If you're listening to
McDonald's Australia, which is the one here.
Yeah, obviously. If you're listening to this right now, just know that it's somewhere in the next two
there
hours
will be
of the show. I will just randomly be a massive asshole to Josh.
The best part is more people will be awake and no one will have heard this and
it'll
just sound like you're horrible.
That's fine. That's okay. I'm happy with that. But just know, this is honestly a reason to stick around for the next two hours.
It's
at
exciting.
Some point, I'm just going to be awful to Josh for no reason.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Anyway, McDonald's Australia, the one you'd find in this nation, has had to come out and defend themselves a little bit because there's been some rumours that have been circling around the internet a little bit with people making claims that something has changed at McDonald's. They're saying...
The straws?
No, not the straws. They made you very aware of that because after 5 minutes, you can't drink out of them anymore.
No, that's not fair. I will say the McDonald's paper straw, here's what I will say about it.
Sure.
I'm not convinced that isn't worse for the environment than the plastic straw.
Like
it is such a dense paper straw that the manufacturing of it, I have questions around how that's done.
I'll say the ones that...
I think obviously the plastic's worse long term, but I think it takes more to make the paper straws because the Macca's paper straws are actually very good.
PJs in the city have great
bamboo straws.
That's the way to go.
They are good.
So McDonald's need to get around bamboo.
So what are McDonald's being accused of?
They've had to come out and defend themselves because a bunch of people have accused them of making their burgers smaller.
Mm.
So like over the years, maybe shrinking
this
down on a few of them.
This is a common thing. I think somebody's gotten older and their hands have gotten bigger.
Yeah.
Like that's what's happened. Someone's
Why
gone from
Happy
being,
Meals no longer interesting
gone
to
from
me?
Being 16 to being 25 and is like, this is bigger than it used to be. That's what's happened. Happens with other things too, by the way.
Yeah, that's what McDonald's have come out and said.
Oh, God, it's getting smaller.
Yeah, McDonald's have come out and said, you guys are getting bigger. No, what they've come out and said is, no, we're not shrinking them. They're the same size they've always been. Maybe you guys have gotten bigger. We don't know. The burger that this has all come from, it's all like unraveled because of one burger, is the fish filet.
Yeah.
Or filet of fish. The filet of fish, someone's had one of those and they're like, these are smaller than they used to be.
Good.
I will say, even McDonald's, they've come out and they've gone, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. So they haven't done it. But if they were ever going to make a burger smaller...
The Filet-O-Fish.
Filet-O-Fish is the first cab off the rank.
If we can say you say Filet-O-Fish, I go Fillet-O-Fish.
That's Filet-O-Fish.
Yeah, but I'm from Ramsey Street. So I go, the bloody Filet-O-Fish.
It is Filet-O-Fish,
it is,
isn't it?
No, you can say it either way.
I'm from suburban Melbourne.
Yeah. So I think my natural bogan is to say Filet-O-Fish.
Filet-O-Fish. Nah, I like Filet-O-Fish. It's like how I want to say Tajay, but no one will join me there. So I can say Filet-O-Fish. If they were going to make a burger smaller and crappier, this is the one to do because I reckon they sell about 4 a year.
I would actually... argue I changed the whole thing. The real hidden like gremlin on the McDonald's menu.
Yeah.
You just when you hear someone get it, you're like, what? What?
So this might be where we go into suing territory, but yeah.
And I do automatically apologize straight up to people who are lactose intolerant. But then again, there's stuff in the bread. Anyway, the point is the hamburger. When you hear somebody get the hamburger instead of the cheeseburger, why are you doing that to yourself?
Yeah.
You're taking away what is probably the best part of the cheeseburger.
Yeah.
It's in the name.
And
it's
in the name. Like, what are you saving? 50 cents?
And it's also not ham that you're getting. You're still getting beef.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. It's not a hamburger. It's not like the Yumbo at Hungry Jack's where it's just ham on a burger.
Why do we call them hamburgers?
I have no idea.
They don't come from that animal.
I would be very happy, however, if Macca's turned the hamburger into like a slider situation, like tiny little bite-sized burgers for the car.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I don't know how.
You hamburger weirdos can still get what you need.
Hamburger weirdos.
And I get a little bit of like a slider type situation.
I don't know how in your brain this became pitching ideas to McDonald's and not they haven't shrunk burgers.
Ronald. Call me. Let's get in touch.
Trust me, Ronald has your number, and he's not calling you anytime.
He's probably going to get in touch about saying the filet-o-fish is crap.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Okay, very good.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.